Well, good evening. We are going to change the order of our service a little bit this evening. Rather than having our singing first, then some preaching, we're going to have some preaching and then singing and preaching and singing and preaching and singing back and forth a little bit. So it's good to see everyone this evening. We do have some visiting with us. We're thankful that you have come to worship the Lord with us, and we hope that it will be an encouragement to you, and most importantly, that it will be a praise unto God. As we have just read in this psalm, the psalm writer expresses a great deal of confidence in God, trust in God, because God is the Almighty. And in fact, we looked at that expression from Genesis 17 this morning when he self-identified, when he called himself Almighty God. And we looked at some of the implications and evidences that there are that God is in fact Almighty. Tonight, we would like to change the emphasis a little bit from the proclamation or the affirmation that God is Almighty to what it means to us. And the primary word that we want to use is trust. We can trust in the Almighty God. In fact, the psalm writer says in the 91st psalm, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." So all of these songs that we're going to sing and the passages that we look at are going to emphasize different aspects of our lives where, because God is Almighty, we can put our confidence in Him. So the first area of our lives in which we can trust God is we can trust His might to accomplish His will. And we'll just look at one example of this. If you would, get your Old Testaments out to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. And we're looking at an example of a man whose faith, whose trust was tested. But because he knew God was Almighty, which meant he was going to fulfill His will, he was willing to obey the Lord and do what the Lord said. Here in the 32nd chapter of Jeremiah, we find Jeremiah living among the people of Judah, and they are about to be destroyed. The Babylonians have already made some advances against them, and they are terrified that they are going to be destroyed. Not only terrified, but God has said, "I'm going to destroy you. These people are going to overtake you." So God gives him an interesting requirement, an interesting command to obey. Chapter 32 and verse 7. "Behold, Hanamiel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you saying, 'Buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it.'" All right, so here is Jeremiah, and he's in the middle of a war-torn country, knowing that they're going to be destroyed. And in the middle of that, he says, "I want you to go and buy a field." Now, it doesn't seem to be like a good investment. It kind of seems like you're throwing your money away to buy a field when the country is going to be destroyed. But Jeremiah does that. He has confidence in God. And so he buys the field. Verse 16, he prays to the Lord saying, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and earth by your great power and outstretched arm. And there is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day, and in Israel among other men, and you have made yourself a name. It is this day. You have brought the people out of the land of Egypt." And he continues on, sort of like we did in our lesson this morning. He looked at the creation and saw the greatness of God, what God did to Israel, the greatness of God. God is Almighty. And because of that, he says, "You ask me to buy property in the middle of a place that's going to be destroyed, and I did it. because I trust you. You must have a plan. He goes on to say, I know you're going to destroy everything, but you must have a plan or you would not have asked me to do that. Verse 26, then the Lord, word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And he goes through and says they're going to burn it to the ground and it's going to be left uninhabited. But notice verse 37. He says, behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Verse 44, men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the south, for I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord. So here is a man told by God to make this investment in the land. It doesn't seem to make any financial sense, but Jeremiah had faith. He had trust that God is almighty. And if God says, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to destroy him, then I'm going to bring you back, which will make this land yours again and valuable again, then I'm going to trust you. There are many times when we read Scripture and we have to scratch our head and say, why, Lord? Why do you want it done that way? Couldn't we do it another way? This doesn't seem to make sense to me. God is almighty. He's going to work out His will. We have to trust Him. If you would open up your songbooks to number 655 and allow this song to be an expression of your heart as you trust God, the Almighty God, that He will fulfill His will. Number 655.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, fill me through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Red heaven, lead me till I want no more.
Let's go to God in prayer. Lord God Almighty, We humble ourselves before you at this time, Lord, thanking you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer. Lord, acknowledging that you are all-powerful, that you are almighty, that you are wise beyond all our comprehension. Lord God, we thank you for your creation, and we see your handiwork in all of it, and we see your power in all of it. Lord God, when times are difficult, when things don't go our way, we pray, Lord, that we would trust in you to know that you have a plan. You have a plan for all creation. And Lord, we know that you are powerful enough to enact that plan in whatever way you deem necessary. And we just pray, Lord, that we would trust in you. We pray, Lord, that when we can't see an outcome that is in accordance with your will, we pray, Lord, that we would have faith that you will make your will known, that you will make it seen, and that, Lord, eventually all creation will bow to you, that when Christ returns, every knee will bow, Lord, and you will be praised, you will be glorified. We thank you for this church, for your church, and we pray, Lord, that it would grow, that it would grow here, that it would grow all over the world, and that your word would be spread, that your kingdom would be spread. Lord God, we ask that you would be with Jeff as he is bringing your word to us, as he is showing us that in your word there are so many examples of trusting in you and having faith in you and having faith in your power. And Lord, we thank you that you are not only all powerful, but that you love us and that you care for us. And Lord, while we have reason to fear that power, if we are not living in accordance with your will, we thank you that you have laid out what you want from us in your word, that your word has been so well maintained that we can take it in a book, that we can share it, that we can read it for ourselves, that we can establish our own faith in you, Lord, and so that we can be confident of the salvation that we have. Lord God, we ask that you would forgive us and help us to always strive to live in accordance with your will. And if we falter, if we have a misstep and fall, we pray, Lord, that we would look back to you. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters here who can also help us get back on our feet, help us be guided back to you. Lord, in all things we pray that your will would be done. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
One specific way that God's ways have been accomplished, and we've seen it, is in the salvation of mankind. We may not have been able to foresee everything as God ordained them and brought them about through time, but those who trusted in the Lord were able to accomplish that salvation for themselves because Jesus Christ has won the battle. In the book of Romans, in the first chapter, in verse 16, Paul gives an affirmation here of his own confidence of the message that he preached when he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We've been talking about the almighty power of God. And imagine that almighty power, the power that was able to create this world with the sound of his voice, the God that was able to through the centuries work through in supernatural ways and through his providence to bring about his will. That power of God is harnessed for the salvation of mankind in Jesus Christ. And that act of Jesus Christ in dying on the cross for our sins and being raised and being exalted to the right hand of God is perpetuated in a message. In a message that is called the gospel. The almighty power of God is harnessed in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can have confidence in that power, in that gospel, in that message, in two ways, I think. The first way is for ourselves, that we have been saved. Now, we might feel very unsure. We might have a lot of doubts because we have stumbled and we have fallen and we have sinned and we know the wreck that we have made of our lives because of sin, and we feel guilty because of that, and we might lose the peace of mind because of that, because of all of the sin in our lives. But we can know and we can be confident that Jesus Christ has the power to defeat the devil, and has done so on the cross, so that my sins can be on the cross with them. My sins can be cleansed. My sins can be taken away, not by my power, but by the power of the Almighty God. And the second thing that it can help us, we can trust in, is if anyone is going to be converted to Christ, if anyone will be converted to Christ, it will be by the message of the gospel. There is no other way. There is not some form of entertainment. There is not some deviation, some change that we need to make to one thing that we do or another thing to do. If anyone is going to be saved, it is going to be by the power of the gospel. We need to just trust in that and continue to preach that, continue to proclaim that, because to God be the glory. He has done great things. And let's express that as we sing number 172, To God Be the Glory. Think about your trust in God's power providing for your salvation and that of the world.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord.
We also, because God is almighty, can trust in His might to shape us. I'd like to look at a contrast in the book of Isaiah of an image that is used a few times in Scripture, and that is of a potter and clay, and the potter's shaping of that clay according to His will. In the 29th chapter of Isaiah, 15 and 16, we have the people of Israel in a very rebellious way talking back to God. Verse 15, "Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in dark. They say, 'Who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say to him who made it, why did he not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding?'" So he's using Israel here in this potter and clay illustration to talk about their arrogance. God does not hear, God does not see, God has not made me, God has not fashioned me, God is not the one who has been the maker of me, He does not understand me. Contrast to that, in the 64th chapter of Isaiah, we find the heart of one who is seeking the favor of the Lord, crying out for the Lord and for mercy, when he says, this is the 64th chapter in verse 8, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And all we are the work of your hand." You see the difference in those two attitudes? The one that looks unto God and says, "You don't understand. You have not made me. I am the one who have made myself." And the other one who just says, "I'm the clay, Lord. Make me." We can have a great deal of trust in God because He is almighty. He is the one who has created this world. He is the one that has brought us salvation. He is the one that works through the centuries, through His providence, to bring about what is good and right and what is profitable and what is just. We put our lives into His hands, the Almighty's hands, and ask Him to shape us as if we were clay. Billy, if you would not mind, put on the next song here. This is going to be song number 417, "The Providence of God." This is not a song, as far as I know, that we've sung here as a congregation, but we worked on it a little bit in the practice a few moments ago. And I'd like for us to sing this song, because this song is the heart of this Isaiah 64 plea for mercy, asking God and demonstrating or vocalizing the trust that we have in God. Let's just read through these verses so we can kind of be familiar with the thought before we try to sing this song. And Brian is going to lead us in the song in just a moment. "The mighty God, omniscient one." Listen to the confidence in these words. Listen to the trust in these words. "His ways we cannot trace. He reckons every good begun and crowns it with His grace." And here's the chorus. "He's here and there and everywhere. In all the ways I've trod, I've never passed beyond the sphere of the providence of God." God is all around us, and we can have confidence in that because of that. Verse number 2. "Lo," notice the confidence in this, "I see Him in His Word. I will not doubt or fear. My steps are ordered of the Lord. His guiding hand is near. He's here and there and everywhere. In all the ways I've trod, I've never passed beyond the sphere of the providence of God. No trial can my spirit break, for God will not forsake. He will, with each temptation, make a way for my escape. He's here and there and everywhere. In all the ways I've trod, I've never passed beyond the sphere of the providence of God." In the last verse, The future beckons, and I bow. My God removes the care. Behold, He goes before me now, and will my way prepare. He's here and there and everywhere, in all the ways I've trod. I've never passed beyond the sphere of the providence of God. Let's sing this song, and as we do so, express our trust in God to shape us as clay. Very closely associated with our trust in God to shape us and His providence to be with us is our trust in His might to protect us. There's a quality of the fact that He is Almighty that gives us an assurance that we don't have to worry about those that might harm us, particularly the devil. In the book of John, in the 10th chapter, we find a promise that is given to us by Jesus Himself. When He talks about the relationship that He's going to have with His sheep. And He says in John chapter 10, starting with verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." We can have assurance in the sight of our Almighty God that no one, not even the devil, can defeat us. You know, Flip Wilson, if you know who Flip Wilson is, it takes you back, but he used to say, "The devil made me do it." No, he doesn't. The devil can't make us do it. The devil is powerful. The devil has influence. The devil is very sneaky. He's very deceitful. That's true. The devil can't make us do it. Even though he's more powerful than us, he can't make us do it. Because we serve an almighty God. Jesus will protect us. God will protect us. No one can snatch us out of the hand of God. And let's go to the 18th Psalm once again. Appreciate Ryan reading that for us. Because in this Psalm, David, the historical context, is a particular instance in David's life when he needed the protection of God, when he was going to be killed by Saul. And he ran. He had to run. He had to find deliverance. And where he found deliverance was in the Almighty God. And so after that deliverance, he is grateful for that. And he says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The God is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Does that sound familiar? That's a song that we sing. It is a song that originated here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the heart of David as he was being delivered by God from Saul. How many times in our lives has God delivered us? How many times, if it were not for the Almighty God, would the devil have destroyed our spirit, destroyed our lives, taken us captive and pulled us so that we got involved with sin? How many times has God said, no, you cannot go that far. No, there is a limitation to your temptation. No, you cannot force them because I am Almighty God. We can trust that God will protect us from the evil one. So let's sing this song that's made according to this psalm, which is song number 15. And as we do so, just as David said these words from the heart, we can say them as well. Song number 15.
I will call upon the Lord. Thank you.
And closely associated with that is our trust that His might will take us home. In the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter, Peter talks about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He calls it a living hope. It is not a dead hope. It is not a worthless or an empty hope. It is alive. He says in chapter 1 and verse 3, 1 Peter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the," notice what he says here, "who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The word "kept" here was a military term that meant to be guarded, to be protected, to be shielded. We have a reservation in heaven, and we know that that reservation is not going to be taken away. It is not going to be filled with someone else. It is not going to be thwarted in any way, because the Almighty God, by God's power, He keeps us as long as we continue to live by faith. There is a mansion waiting for us. There is this inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away in heaven for us. I know that God can deliver us because God is Almighty. Let's sing number 399, and as we do so, allow those words to express the intentions and the feelings of our heart to let God lead us home. Number 399.
My stars are red and
In just a moment, we're going to sing number 722 as an invitation song. Number 722, if you're following along in your books. If not, you'll see it on the screen behind you. I hadn't really noticed the word gently as pronounced as I had before, this time as we sang that song. You know, you think about the Almighty God. And sometimes when things are really powerful, they're not real gentle. They kind of bumble over things and are hurt things that they're when they're not intending. But certainly our God is almighty and gentle at the same time. And it is certainly beautiful to hear the women sing so beautifully as well. Sorry to say I stopped singing a few times just to listen, because it is a beautiful thing. God is almighty. We know that from Scripture. We see that from His providence. We see that in the creation. We see that in the salvation of our souls. We see that in the providence of our own lives. We see over and over again, God is all-powerful. But we have to trust. We have to choose to trust Him. You remember what happened originally when God gave us this designation, I am Almighty God. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, He said that to Abram, I am Almighty God. And then He said, walk before Me and be blameless. In other words, you're going to have to trust Me. You're going to have to walk with Me. You're going to have to walk before Me in faith. And Abraham certainly is an example of someone who did exactly that. He was willing to obey the Lord and follow the Lord and trust the Lord and recognize the almighty nature of God. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to put your faith in God as well, to recognize the evidence that God has given to us so that you too can put your faith in Him, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing His name, being baptized, to begin a life of allowing your soul to be in the hands of this God. We're going to be singing this song, 722, which is on Zion's glorious summit. We want you to be on that summit with us. We're going to be there. We're going home with the Lord. And we want you to go with us. So if you're not a Christian, and you can't sing this song because you're not going to be on that glorious summit with us, we would encourage you to come so that you can become a Christian. If you are a Christian, for some reason have your life messed up, you're not going to be singing on that glorious summit either. Get your life right with the Lord. Sing this song with us. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
On Zion's glorious summit, stood the God who rests, speaking.